Amen. Raise your Bible, review, and let us say these words. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Amen. Amen. And we're looking at Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. I'm reading from the New King James. It reads, verse 24. Amen. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Amen. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. We want to talk about gone, but not forgotten. Amen. Gone, but not forgotten. Can we say that together, please? One more time. Amen. Bless you. You may be seated. Gone, but not forgotten. Amen. Amen. Some people are just worth remembering. Amen. You just can't forget them. You just can't get them out of your mind. Some people are just worth remembering. Amen. Although they may be missing, they are still mentioned. Although they may be absent, they still have not been abandoned. Although they are gone, they are not forgotten. Amen. And the aim of our sermon is for us to identify what we will be remembered for. Amen. As we celebrate this time of remembering so many, to identify what will we, Zion Rest, you as an individual, be remembered for. Amen. That is something that is very important. And as we have looked at the book of Genesis, we have seen the first lie being told. Amen. The devil told it. Thou shalt not surely die. We witness, amen, the first parents as they have fallen, but God got them back up. We see the first prophecy in Genesis, where we're told in Genesis 3:15 that the serpent will strike at the heel of the woman, but the serpent's seed would be hit in the head and receive the death blow. The first prophecy of Jesus coming in the same chapter where they fell. And we saw the first murderer, at least the first human murderer, because we know that the devil is the murderer. According to John 8:44, it says that he's a liar and that he is a murderer. And he says that he was a murderer from the beginning. Murdering is something that comes out of us. It's already in our fallen nature, as we are totally depraved with an inability to do what is good, to do what is right, to do what is true, to do what is holy. We are depraved. And what we find basically is sin got in us, and it came out when the first brother killed his only brother. We know Cain killed Abel. And Abel stood for what's right, and Cain stood for what's wrong. We see the first because the book of Genesis means in the Hebrew beginning. We see the first cattlemen in verse 20 of chapter 4. We see the first musical instruments. Amen. The harp and the flute.
we see the first industry of iron and bronze in verse 22. Amen. We see the first, not only as it relates to the cattleman and the choir and the craftsman, but we see the first prophecy, we believe, of the rapture of the church. Because as we look in chapter 5, we find a genealogy. Now, this is the genealogy of Adam. This is the generations, or we'll say it this way, the family tree of Adam. We find out that we know that Adam lived 130 years. Amen. And he begat a son in his own likeness, Seth, in verse 3. And as you study Genesis, you're going to find out that God is only interested in the seed that will bring forth the Messiah. He's only interested in the seed of the woman. He had told that first prophecy in Genesis 3:15 that the seed, he put enmity between thee and the woman. Satan and the woman, the seed of the woman and the seed of the devil would be at war with each other. We find out that God, through genealogical records, allows us to trace Jesus all the way back to that woman. And don't ever talk about the woman messed up until you find out that the woman also cleaned it up. He didn't say through the seed of a man, but he said through the seed of the woman. Jesus would come through the seed of the woman. And these genealogical records are in the Bible for the purpose of us tracing Adam to Abraham, Abraham to David, and David to Jesus. You'll see he won't go into details about everybody's record. You won't hear much about Cain. He'll talk a little bit about Cain's family tree, and he'll stop, because Cain's family tree is not the interest of the author. He only wants to focus on the seed of the woman and how it is going to be fulfilled according to that first prophecy. So it was Seth. You'll be dealing with Seth. In chapter 10, you'll be dealing with Shem. After they get out, Noah comes out, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You'll find out that Shem will provide additional lineage. But we look here and we see where it says he talks about Seth right there, his son. After he begat Seth, he had sons and daughters. You wonder where Cain got his wife from? Before the world became, before God had laid down laws, we see that Cain no doubt married his sister. And that's where he got his wife from. Because it says that it doesn't talk about all of Adam's sons and daughters. It just says he had them. In verse 4, he said, he begat Seth. That's the only one we're concerned about. And then he begat sons and daughters. He didn't tell us about all of the history of the family tree or none of the sons and daughters. That's what he's trying to trace. And so as we look at this, what we find out basically is that Enoch was gone, but he wasn't forgotten. And he shall be remembered. What shall he be remembered for? Amen. And we see Enoch's distinction, his devotion, and his disappearance. Enoch's distinction was that he did not die. He didn't die. Amen. That distinguishes him from all the others in this genealogical record. It says that Seth lived and Seth died, and Enos lived and Enos died. Canaan lived and Canaan died. Mahalalel lived and Mahalalel died. Jared lived and Jared died. Methuselah lived 969 years and he died. Lamech lived 777 years and he died. Everybody died but Enoch. And that's really what this genealogical record is about. If you parallel this record to the one in the Genesis chapter 10, what you're going to find out is that he's only showing you that they died to show you that Enoch lived. That's the only difference. He's pointing out the difference that Enoch did not die. Isn't that amazing? Enoch didn't die. Enoch, the Bible says, the Bible lets us know that that in verse 24 that Enoch walked with God and he was not, because God took him. Amen. Enoch walked with God. Enoch, when you think about Enoch, you think about a man who is, you know, he made the decision to walk with God in the midst of all of the degradation that were taking place, as we will see, amen, as we see that is going to take place, amen, because God is going to destroy the world in the very next chapter. But we see out of all that is going on, we find this man, Enoch. And what made him so distinguished was that he walked with God. But what you have to understand is that while all the others died, Enoch lived. Enoch, these people lived to be long periods of time. Seth himself lived to be 912 years old. That's a long time. Enoch's daddy lived to be 962 years old. And that lets us know the capacity of the human body. Amen. We got the body that they got. This is Adam's blood in here. We all came from our first parents. And it lets us know the potential of the human body. This body could live to be 1,000 years old. And if they hadn't sinned, we find out that this was the potential. And we see that these bodies have an amazing capability. But where does sin and where does sickness come from? Where does all the evil come from? It comes from sin. Where does death come from? Sin. They won't talk about it a lot. But that's really the origin of all of this. Death and sickness, sorrow and pain. It all comes because of that tree. Otherwise, they would have been in perfect health. But when sin came in, they died. But it says here that Enoch did not die. And I believe that it was because of his devotion to God. Enoch did not die because the Bible says, notice what it says about Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Amen. And he was not, because God took him. Enoch walked with God. That word there, walked with God, that means that he was in fellowship with God. Amen. Enoch was in fellowship with God. One version says it this way. He spent his life in fellowship with God. Oh, what, just to be in fellowship with God. A lot of people, amen, they're not able to even take communion because they're not living according to the way God wants them to live, and they're out of fellowship with God. But to be in fellowship with God, he spent his life in fellowship with God. What an example. What an example that Enoch set. Being in fellowship with God. This lets us know what kind of relationship he had. He had a relationship with God. And he and God was so close that he lived in fellowship with God. They were inseparable. Amen. God said, you just going to have to go on home with me, because I'm not going to, we that close. Right.
We are so tied together until we can't separate. Isn't that nice? To be so close to God, you and God to be so close until you're so inseparably joined, until if God go, you got to go with him. Amen. I'm so attached to God, and he's so attached to me, where he is, where I am. I walked in fellowship with God, and we have a relationship, a close relationship. One version says that Enoch walking in close fellowship with God. He walked in close fellowship. Close. Enoch and God were close. They were so close until they were inseparable. The relationship that he had built. And he had, it was because really, it was Enoch's faith. It was Enoch's faith. The Bible gives us some additional information about Enoch. It gives us some additional information about Enoch. It tells us that faith enabled Enoch to be taken instead of dying. He didn't die. Death does not reign in God's realm. Death is used, it's not reigning. And Enoch, his faith enabled him to be taken. Isn't that nice? When you walk so close to God, amen. God says it's your faith. And we see in the Hebrews Hall of Fame that though many of those heroes, we looked at Abel was a man of faith. And now it tells us in chapter 5 of Hebrews that Enoch's faith enabled him to go and to be with the Lord. And we have to practice faith. When I talk about faith, I'm talking about, living and being in faith is a way of life. It's not something that you do on Sunday, but you don't do on Monday. It's something you practice. Amen. We walk by faith. Amen. Faith is beyond the senses. Amen. The senses can arrest us and say, one thing, humanly speaking, from my physicality, but then my faith is an extra sense I have. Amen. Amen. I don't live just according to the physical, but God says, they that walketh with God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. But you won't get the rewards God got unless you have faith. You got to be faith because he's faithful. To his word. He's faithful to his word. That's why Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, I didn't get a chance to get that up on the screen. It tells us that we ought to hold fast to our confession. Amen. We ought to hold fast to it. Amen. I'm going to get you on out of here. The truth of the matter is we ought to hold fast. Hold on to it. There's some things that will make you let faith go. And Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:23 that you got to hold it. Hold fast. Don't let it go. Hold on. Amen. Why did you not let it go? Because he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a God who keeps his promises. He's faithful to his word. I may not be able to depend on you, but I can depend on God. There's a whole lot of folk you can't depend on. Folk will let you down and disappoint you and hurt your feelings and break your heart. But I'm here to tell you that God won't let you down. Martin Luther King was marching, but what he realized is that God wouldn't let him down. He said, I done forgot about all of y'all. I done been to the mountaintop. Don't nothing bother me now. Amen. Because I'm holding on. God won't let me down. God won't let me go. And we need to know that here this morning. No matter what life brings, I don't face life with just my five senses alone. Hear, see, taste, smell, and touch. There's a sixth sense. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. You just can't please him. He's just not going to be happy with you. He's just not going to be happy with you. He walked with God. And that means he was in agreement with God. Enoch was not influenced by his surroundings. He was not influenced by others. Enoch was different. Enoch was distinct. Enoch held on to his faith. Enoch was so close to the Lord. Amen. Until he found out that even death was not an issue in his life. And it doesn't matter what you're dealing with, as long as you just keep walking in fellowship with God. Amen. God will be there when nobody else will be there. God will help you when nobody else will help you. You can count on God. You can depend on God. You can rely on God. God is our very present help in the time of the storm when I would have given up. Amen. God has the last word. Amen. God has the last word. As I go to a close, what I want us to realize here is that Enoch walked with God. Amen. Amen. And you know, if you're going to walk with somebody, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? Enoch agreed with God, and God was acceptance of his life. And that's what made them walk together. Because two folk can't get along that don't agree. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? How can two do that? You can't walk together unless you are in agreement. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? So he was in agreement, and then the Bible tells us that he was in agreement with God, but he had this testimony. Amen. He had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. His life pleased God. He trusted in God, and that's why God, I'm not through with that, but I'm going to have to go on. He trusted in God. You see, God is reliable. God is faithful. God is dependable. He's the only one I know who he is. I've had people to hurt and let me down, but God can be trusted with my troubles. Amen. I just put them in the hands of the Lord, and he trusted in God, and God will do the same. You know, God is not prejudiced. God loves you just as much as he loves Enoch. Do you think God likes you more than he does Enoch? I doubt it. I know he doesn't. Any man who is totally yielded to God, amen, amen. Any man who is totally yielded to God, God will also reciprocate. If you exercise your faith, God too will walk with you. That's why they wrote that song, he walks with me and he talks with me. Amen. And that's why they wrote that song, that I trust in God from day to day. Let come what may, my heavenly Father watches over me. Amen. You can be born and be a male, but then you to be a man is a choice. Amen. I decide to follow Jesus. I make the decision to follow Jesus. I trust in him. Do you trust in the Lord? Amen. If you don't trust in the Lord, then you're going to find that life is going to be difficult. Amen. But you're going to need something that you can lean on, and something that you can depend on, and something that you can rely on. And he'll let you know if he's real, because he'll let you sense his presence in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your situation. No matter what's going on, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It keeps me smiling all of the time. Why do I sing? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches over me. Have I got a witness? Amen. Enoch walked with God. I can't get away from that. He walked with God. He pleased God. The Bible says that just like Jesus said, he said, I do always those things that please my Father. That's what he says. Because your life is only a cumulative record of the decisions that you make. Amen. You have to make a choice to have faith in God. You have to make a choice to go to church on Sunday. You have to make a choice to worship and work for the Lord. That's a choice. Amen. But oftentimes we find ourselves in life not being where we ought to be because of the choices. But the right choice is Jesus Christ. He's the best choice that you will ever make. Jesus says, I decided that I would do only always those things that please my heavenly Father. Amen. Enoch lived. And the thing about Enoch is he didn't live as long as the rest of them. If you look at this chapter, Enoch lived less time than anybody did. Enoch only lived 365 days, 365 years. Amen. He only lived 365 years. But the truth of the matter is, all the rest of them lived a long time. Enoch had a short life. But it did not. Have you found out that length and quantity don't always mean quality? It's not how long you live. Amen. But it's how you live. Amen. And Enoch did not live. He 365 years. Methuselah, 969. All these other folk, 900, 895, 910. But the truth of the matter is that Enoch walked with God. And it's not your duration, but your donation. You see, the fact of the matter is that Enoch's life was one of quality. And that made him and God so inseparable that we find out that he trusted in God. He depended on God. And he decided that I'm going to live right. I'm going to do right. I'm going to serve right. I'm going to love right. And if you love right, amen, then God will make a way for you. That's what I'm saying. Because if you don't plan to do it right, you may as well plan to do it over. If you do it right the first time, if you get married right the first time, if you hook up with the right friends the first time, if you do what God tells you to do the first time, because he's always right. And if I don't do what God says, I may as well make plans to do it over, because nothing is right but what God says is right. I don't know about you, but I want to do what's right in the eyesight of the Lord. I want to serve him. I want to worship him. Amen. And somebody here today needs to realize, they need to conclude as I conclude, that God, amen, one of these days I may be gone. But what do I want to be remembered for? What do I want to be remembered for? I want to be remembered as one who walked with God. A lot of folk are remembered for a lot of things. You remember Martin Luther King for his civil rights. Billy Graham's life is worth remembering. Amen. 200 million people in his lifetime preaching to them in their presence. 200. A life worth remembering. One remembered for civil rights. One remembered for crusades and revivals. He was remembered for crusades, mass crusades. And if you think about him, he was remembered for the crusades. Bill Clinton was remembered for the economic benefits that he had. Although there are others like to remember some other things about Bill Clinton, but the fact of the matter is, his what he was mainly remembered for was bringing us out of an economic crisis. And irrespective of the ink stain that's on the sheet of his life, people still love him. They don't remember. Amen. I know if you put an ink stain on a sheet, you can bring a whole sheet in here and put one little ink stain on it. And people walk up there and look at the sheet, and they're going to look right at the ink stain. But you know why he's still loved in spite of his ink stain? He's remembered because he served the purpose, because we all flawed. There are no perfect people. In the pulpit, in the choir stand, on the deacon board, on the usher board, there are none. There are no perfect musicians. But God will take your imperfections and make you be remembered. And you need to ask yourself, I may be gone one day, but I won't be forgotten. But what do I want people to remember? I want people to remember that I served God. I walked with God. I don't want to be remembered as being part of the problem in life. I want to be remembered as being part of the solution. I want to be reminded as a man, a woman of faith. Come on, musicians. When it got dark in my life, when it got difficult in my life, when it got dingy, when it got dim, when my life was filled with degradation, I still want to be remembered. I want to be remembered for being a man who walked
with God. A man who learned how to lean and depend on God. That's why they sung that song a long time ago. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, if you please.